From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you very much, Ali Barrett. A miserable old Thursday afternoon it is in Salford and Greater Manchester. It's dark and it's a bit chilly, I think. How you doing? It's the 12th of September 2019. It's obviously me, and I've got a terrific show lined up for you this Thursday. You don't want to miss it. I'll tell you more about it in a second. As usual, you can tweet me. I am observing Twitter now, between now and the end of the programme. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. How you doing?
Richie Allen.
That's the one.
It's the Richie Allen Show. Broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Yeah, I think I've got a really special guest for you today. A really special guest. Councils in the United Kingdom are making enormous amounts of money by fining people for dropping litter, but they are doing so using private enforcement firms on the streets of every city in the country. Fining people on the spot for alleged littering, making hundreds of millions of pounds. Well, John Foley is a market trader in Liverpool, and last year, after he met a member of the public who had been fined, he decided to take it on, and boy did he take it on. John Foley joins me on the programme today to talk about that. It is fascinating. Don't miss John. He joins me in about 25 minutes or so. John Foley, live on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, on triggerwarning.tv, TuneIn Radio, and many other places. This is your Richie Allen Show. I'm sure there's none other like it, is there? There's none other as bad, you might say. You big old baldy gammon, you big old baldy gammon there. Yeah, 5 past the hour it is, Thursday's programme, and I'm in decent form. Decent form is about the best way to describe me. Fair to middling. Let me jump into the Byline Times. The Byline Times. UK publication, you mightn't have heard of it. And they ran a story overnight with the headline, Brexit Disaster Capitalism. £8 billion bet on no deal crash out by Boris Johnson's Leave backers. So the story alleges that the shadowy elites who have backed Boris Johnson to the hilt have bet about £8 billion combined on the UK crashing out that term on October 31st. Okay, let's take a look at some of the claims. And I don't doubt them, by the way. I'm not going to cast any aspersions on them. Johnson's leadership campaign backers in the city will make billions of pounds from his do-or-die pledge to take Britain out of the EU by the end of October. All right. So on the day that Johnson was announced as Prime Minister by his party on July 23rd, 6 or 7 weeks ago, it was reported that more than half of the donations received by Johnson during his leadership campaign originated from donors with ties to the city. It's actually much more than half. And many of these people run hedge funds, and they will make a killing on his hardline approach to Brexit. That is, if he does leave without a deal on October 31st. And the article names some of these people. I'll tweet a link out to it later on. The current speculation on short positions, in which hedge funds make money on prices going down, is almost identical to the hedging which occurred around Brexit during the EU referendum itself. Byline Times has reported previously on the vast windfalls that Vote Leave backers accrued back in 2016. And when Johnson announced he was running for the Conservative Party leadership, short positions began to double, triple and quadruple. And by the time it was announced that he won and that he would be the Prime Minister, these short positions had risen to around 100 per week. This is people taking positions on a no-deal Brexit. Betting, okay? Gambling, shorting, that basically gaming that eventuality. So the firms that have taken out short positions are almost entirely dominated by those which either directly or through their directorships of other companies donated to the Vote Leave campaign back in 2016, and they also took out short positions on that referendum result back then. From the financial data publicly available, Byline Times reveals that currently £4.5 billion of aggregate short positions on a no-deal Brexit have been taken out by hedge funds that directly or indirectly bankrolled Boris Johnson's leadership campaign. Now, most of these firms also donated to Vote Leave. Another £3.7 billion of these short positions have been taken out by firms that donated to the Vote Leave campaign but did not donate directly to Johnson's leadership campaign. So it's a total of £8.3 billion of aggregate short positions taken out by hedge funds connected to Johnson and his Vote Leave campaign, which was run by his advisor Dominic Cummings, on a no-deal Brexit. So very wealthy, elitist hedge fund managers are gambling, are betting that, to the tune of £8.3 billion, that there will be a crash out, as it has been dubbed, by the UK on October 31st, led by Boris Johnson. The problem is, that's not going to happen. Now, a friend of mine, he's become a friend, he's a brilliant journalist. We're talking about Neil Saunders here. Neil has been on to me about this today, and I think Neil is brilliant. Neil has written a series of articles about the backers of the right in the United States and the right in this country and the right in Europe, the anti-EU brigade. And I can't find fault with any of Neil's journalism, because Neil, without paraphrasing him, without doing him a disservice, he posits or believes that there is a shadowy group of elitists who are not thrilled about European Union hegemony in the world. They are all about preserving the position of the United States and Israel in the world, their hegemony, and they don't want the European Union to grow any further. And I think he's right to believe that, Neil Saunders. He does a brilliant job of explaining this and laying it out. And we've had great discussions about it, Neil and me, and Neil might come on the programme next week again. But it doesn't change what I've always said. Boris Johnson and his mob of merry lunatics in the city are not in the event that the UK leaves the European Union, which it won't, but they are not going to return or restore manufacturing. They're not. They are not going to lift people out of poverty and despair. They are not. They are not going to restore the UK's ports and the UK's fishing industry to what it once was. They're not. Boris Johnson's not going to do that. I don't support Boris Johnson and Jacob Rees-Mogg and his band of merry men. I do not. They are not going to do any of that at all. They're going to sell the country out, what remains of it, to some of the biggest capitalists and globalists on planet Earth. Of course they are. I've never disagreed with Neil or anybody else on that point. I believe the European Union is a vital cog in the push to centralise government globally in the very near future. And that whatever about the horrible people who've bet £8.3 billion on us leaving, whatever about the horrible Boris Johnson and the horrible people surrounding him, and maybe their desire to leave with no deal, I believe it will not happen. And I believe that will be borne out in the next 6 or 7 weeks. And that's all I can say about that right now. But it's excellent journalism by Byline Times, excellent journalism by Neil Saunders, who I can't find fault with, but the European Union is not going to fall. More integration, more alignment, politically, militarily and fiscally, and the United Kingdom will not leave. And that is how I see it. And of course, if I am proven to be wrong, I'll say fair enough. But I won't be. And I'm not being arrogant. I won't be. 12.5 minutes past the hour. Let's talk about proroguing Parliament, proroguing. Scotland's highest civil court ruled yesterday that the shutdown was unlawful. Now, it matters not, maybe, because the High Court in England disagrees and says it is lawful, but the Supreme Court will have to decide next week. So it's 1-1 at the moment. So Johnson was unveiling plans to kickstart the UK's shipbuilding industries this morning, and he was asked by a BBC reporter, Boris, did you lie to the Queen? Did you lie to the Queen?
Did you lie to the Queen when you advised her to prorogue to suspend
did
Parliament?
You?
Absolutely not. And that, and indeed, the, as I say, the High Court in England plainly agrees with us, but the Supreme Court will have to decide. We need a Queen's speech. We need to get on and do all sorts of things at a national level. We've got a fantastic... Here we are, discussing shipbuilding. We're going to be launching five new Type 31 frigates. We're going to need bills on education, on health, on housing, on technology, on our vision for investing in science, the space programme, all the things that we want to do on environment, stopping the export of waste overseas and plastics. There are a huge number of things that we want to get on with and do.
I'm going to revitalise the country. He's lying. I'll get us out at the end of October. He's lying. That's Boris the Liar Johnson speaking to the BBC earlier on. So what about the European Union? He's lying. David Sassoli is the president of the European Union Parliament, and he spoke this morning on the backstop and on the no-deal scenario. By the way, when he refers to the resolution, he means the European Union's position on the subject. So do you get that? Because he talks about the resolution. David Sassoli, president of the European Union Parliament, first of all, talking about the Northern Ireland backstop.
The resolution stresses a very clear message. You can't have an agreement without the backstop. It couldn't really be any clearer. That's the position of the European Commission, the position of the European institutions, including the European Parliament. And don't forget, Parliament will have the last word. After that, I can say that we're perfectly happy to examine any proposals which are made. We're not ruling anything out. But up to now, I can say, and I'd like to stress this point, the United Kingdom hasn't proposed any alternatives. And anything that's been legally credible, if I can put it that way.
Yeah.
And
right.
Workable.
Lovely. So that's Sassoli on the backstop. The backstop is pretty simple. It keeps the UK in general, including Northern Ireland, in the European Union Customs Union until they find a solution to prevent a hard border in Northern Ireland, a border between Ireland and Northern Ireland, right? That's what it is. He then went on to speak about the no-deal scenario and the extension, the possibility of extending beyond October 31st. This is interesting.
Then there's the issue of extension. The resolution says that we are open to a possible extension, provided that it's something that's done for overriding reasons, like avoiding no deal, having a general election, or extending Article 50.
Yeah, so they would be open to an extension and extending Article 50, eh?
Surprise, surprise.
Yes.
The unexpected hits you between the eyes.
That's the surprise, you see. Of course they'll extend, of course they'll extend, of course. The Labour Party has said it's more important now than ever that Parliament is recalled next week. Why? Well, the government published the Yellowhammer document. What the hell is that? Well, it's an assessment of a reasonable worst-case scenario in the event of a no-deal Brexit. The government only published it because MPs demanded that it be made public. This is the government's own assessment of a worst-case scenario in the event of a no-deal Brexit. The document is marked as official sensitive, dated the 2nd of August 2019, and it outlines a series of reasonable worst-case planning assumptions if there is a departure with no deal. Let's let Kay explain it, eh? Let's let Kay do some of the legwork here today. This is Sky News, Kay Burley explaining it.
Getting more now on the government's no-deal Brexit preparation papers. The Operation Yellow Hammer report warns of delays in Dover, food shortages and possible civil disorder. The report says certain types of fresh food supply will decrease, with a risk that panic buying will cause or exacerbate food supply disruption. On medicines, it warns supplies will be vulnerable to severe delays. It will also not be practical to stockpile products to cover expected delays of up to 6 months. Out of the expected disruption at Channel ports, it says there will be significant queues in Kent with delays of 1.5 to 2.5 days before being able to cross the border. The report also says border delays could affect fuel distribution. Customer behaviour could lead to local shortages in other parts of the country. And it warns that violence could break out. Protests and counter-protests will take place across the UK, and many absorb significant amounts of police resource. If there's a split in the electricity market on the island of Ireland, there will likely be significant electricity price increases for customers in Northern Ireland. But the rest of the UK would not see any disruption to electricity.
Yeah, yeah, we're all fecked. We're all fecked, be Jesus. On the ports, the UK's ports and delays, Kay had Richard Ballantyne on. He's the chief executive of the British Ports Association. And she asked him, what would no deal mean for Dover specifically? Asked Kay to Richard Ballantyne, chief exec of British Ports Association. What would it mean for Dover?
Well, it's a question we're regularly asked, I have to say. So Dover is, as you probably know, a roll-on, roll-off ferry port that facilitates many thousands of road goods vehicles and indeed private users through it every day, going about routine journeys to and from the European Union to France. And so if you, at the moment, this we're in the EU, the Customs Union and other unified organisations, which means there are no routine controls other than immigration, so passport checks you do have. But if you were to impose new checks for customs declarations, documentation and occasional inspections even, for other quite complicated processes, such as phytosanitary and sanitary checks on plant and animal based products such as food products, then you might need to stop those lorries for sometimes seconds, occasionally minutes or even longer, to either inspect paperwork or verify that loads are customs approved and cleared with our agencies and indeed the agencies on the continent. And of course, it's important to say it's not just Dover. While Dover and Eurotunnel are two of the busiest routes, there are many other Ro-Ro ports, both those that facilitate traffic that's accompanied, where the driver takes the vehicles, but also those that have unaccompanied traffic. So that's where the trailer is dropped at a ferry port and a trailer is loaded and then shipped off. And both those ports have similar kind of challenges. So we don't want the whole of the attention just to be about Dover, however important it may be. There's concerns for the wider ports industry as well.
I get the impression that Richard Ballantyne wanted to say to Kay Burley, I don't think it'll be a big deal, really. But that's a political position, and I believe he held back there. He didn't sound overly concerned. And remember, if you've got French customs officers acting the Mickey Man, as we would say in Ireland, acting the Mickey Man, behaving in a, I don't know, confrontational way, trying to punish the UK, well, you would reciprocate. And you would see who gets tired of that first. And when you think of how much more the European Union sells into the UK than the UK sells into it, that's a game that they would get tired of playing before the UK would, I would say. Right, let's leave Brexit. I had to do that today because things are moving. And that story in the Byline Times is very interesting about all those hedge fund managers betting billions on the UK leaving with no deal on October 31st, which I don't believe will happen. But we'll see soon enough, of course. So it was worth getting into a bit of Brexit today. 22 minutes past the hour. John Foley joins me, market trader in Liverpool, in a few minutes' time. You don't want to miss John. You really don't. I talked about this morning on the newspaper review, the live stream on YouTube. I think it's an interesting story. Bloom Inc. were a 60s pop group. I see where, because the lead singer Madeline Bell, or Madeline Bell, is performing as a solo performer these days, although she still sings some of the Blue Mink hits. And they have a song called Melting Pot. And this first made the news about a week and a half ago when Gold, that's a UK radio station which plays oldies, golden oldies even, and basically stopped playing the song or said they wouldn't play it anymore. Why? Well, because one person complained to Ofcom saying that the lyrics of the song were racist, be Jesus.
What kind of fuckery is this?
Well, it's plain old fuckery, Amy. It's a 1969 song, and Gold, the station Gold, said it would permanently remove the song from its playlist after one complaint deemed the lyrics offensive. The progressive scream, you hear it more and more these days. If you go outside now and walk down your street any evening when people are watching television, every now and then, emanating from a household somewhere, you will hear this. Oh, it's just piercing, isn't it? Oh, Jesus, to get on your teeth, wouldn't it? And that's the progressive snowflake millennial scream. When somebody hears something that offends them terribly, most awfully. This song, which I have to confess I didn't know about, Melting Pot, is a song that basically appeals for racial harmony. And it has lyrics in it about yellow chinkies and a red Indian boy and a coffee-coloured people. It imagines a world where everybody is basically with everybody else and race doesn't matter. And we all kind of meld together and we end up all looking like coffee-coloured people. In France, they call them café au lait. Café au lait. That's probably offensive now. Let's try that. Café au lait, how does that play? Oh, that's not good either. You can't say café au lait. You can't even say half-caste anymore. If you say half-caste, you're racist as well. So you must say mixed race these days. So Melting Pot has been deleted. This is not funny, by the way, because we're talking about art here. We're talking about art and the right of artists, the rights of artists to paint, to write, to direct, and yes, to sing as well. What it is they believe that they should be doing and taking on subjects that they believe they should be taking on. This is from the 60s. Ofcom now, which is the Official Communications Act. Ofcom is the regulatory body for the media. Ofcom comes out of the Official Communications Act. Ofcom says, yeah, the song has to be basically banned and it should not be played on UK television or radio anymore. Let's have a listen to the song. Let's play the whole song. And then let's move on. This is Blue Mink with Melting Pot in solidarity with Madeline, who's 77 now, looks very well, and is singing to this day, is still performing as a solo artist, as Madeline Bell. Her old band, Blue Mink, this is Melting Pot on the Richie Allen Show for Thursday, the 12th of September.
Pinch a white man, wrap it up in black skin.
It's a cracking tune, to be fair, isn't it? I like that song. I didn't know that song. A number of you know it, you big know-alls. You big bloody know-alls. You know everything. My listeners know everything. But it's a good tune. Yeah, it's a good tune. Tune! That's a Blue Mink in Melting Pot. And of course, there's a far more serious element to this. This is not funny, where this is going. It's not funny at all. Some absolute fucking dipstick decides to complain to a radio station about the song, one person, and then goes to Ofcom, and Ofcom decides on that basis, one person, that the song should be blacklisted because of it's racist, when the singer is a black lady and the song's theme is anti-racist and it's a message of harmony and peace. I mean, Jesus wept, eh? Jesus didn't so much weep as fall down, rolling, screaming and kicking his legs up in the air. It's about half past the hour now. It's about half past the hour now. It's a Thursday, so I'm going to give you another tune while I get my guest ready. There you are. You don't often get that on the Richie Allen Radio Show. Two tunes back to back. But you're going to get it today. We're going to have plenty of chat after that with John Foley. So while I dial John up then, let's hear this from Snow Patrol, who'll be on tour in the UK later on this year with a reimagining of some of their biggest songs. Not sure about that. I don't like reimaginings. I'm a bit stuck in the mud, me. I like the songs the way they were meant to be from the beginning. This is Chocolate on the Richie Allen Show, Thursday, September 12th. Yes! Right, that's Snow Patrol on the Richie Allen Show. Let's move swiftly on, by the way, because have I got my guest ready? Is he on the line? Is he there? let's get him back. He is there, is he? He's there. Right, let me introduce this. This is really important, this. My guest today is a well-known market trader in Liverpool. And some of us might remember him from a couple of years ago when he made a very high-profile protest against Ryanair by handcuffing himself to the goalposts at a Premier League football match, which Ryanair's Michael O'Leary was watching. More on that later on, maybe. That was very interesting at the time. But let's hear today, he is here today even, to talk about how councils in the United Kingdom are making enormous amounts of money by fining people for dropping litter, but they're using private enforcement firms on the streets to do that very thing. Finding people on the spot for alleged littering. In many cases, people are not littering at all. This is some story. Let me read you a little bit from The Guardian. A Freedom of Information request from the civil liberties group Manifesto Club found that 250,600 fines were issued in 2018, and 86% of those were issued by private companies. The group said private wardens had an incentive to issue as many fines as possible because their employers were often paid per fine. The number of councils employing contractors, including Kingdom Services Group and 3GS, has soared in the last few years. And this January, a Guardian investigation found councils were making millions of pounds from Kingdom Services Group. The private company was accused of using aggressive and intimidating tactics to issue fines for minor offences such as littering and dog fouling. I understand smoking as well, by the way. The Guardian continues, in April last year, the government increased the amount councils in England could fine people for dropping litter, including from vehicles. It went up from £80 to £150. My guest got into this early last year when a woman came to his stall. He's a market trader in Liverpool, remember. She was upset as she had just received one of these fines. He began looking into it and he took on Liverpool City Council and Kingdom Litter Enforcement, who were at that time employed by Liverpool City Council. This is a must-listen story. I'm delighted to welcome to the programme, live from Liverpool, John Foley. John, welcome to the programme. How are you?
Hello, Richie. I'm really good, thanks.
Thanks for coming on. This is huge, right? This is a massive story.
It's massive, and obviously we'd like to first point out that most of the councils that do it are Labour-run councils, by the way.
Labour-run
champagne
councils.
Champagne socialists.
We'll come back to the champagne socialism. Let's go back to last. By the way, folks, we're not overselling this. This is massive, this story. So last year, you're a market trader in Liverpool with a very well-known, very lovely-looking stall, by the way.
Before we go there, Richie, can I just say a few things first to start it off?
You can, mate. Go ahead. The floor is yours. Yeah. Off you go.
First, obviously, thanks for letting us come on your platform.
Not at all.
We have some great, great guests. And there's one group that's still active in the world that I'd like to plug. Obviously, the Liverpool group now is finished because we've won. But there's a group called the Will Axe the Litter Police Kingdom Security, who have a Facebook group of 3,500. I would hope some of them would actually contribute to your channel after tonight, to be fair.
Lovely.
Come on, David, get your money out.
Oh, no, don't even. They can come on. Forget about money. I want to hear from these people. I wish more of these groups would get in touch, John. Yeah. But go ahead.
Well, David, Claire, Wendy and Heather have done a tremendous job. And what they actually did over in the Wirral, it wasn't just a case of going after the... We call them bandits, and we'll call them bandits throughout the interview. And what they did, they were actually helping the victims that were going to court. And Richie, it was months and months of work for these guys. And they did a tremendous... I went on two of them, and two of them was enough for me. And they went on so many, it was unbelievable. And it's an honour to come on today. Native American activist Leonard Peltier's 75th birthday today.
Is that right? 75? Wow.
And my Uncle Jerry. So let's go then.
Let's crack on. Well, look, you know this programme. We've all the time we need. There's no rush here. This is an important story, so we'll take our time. So last year then, you're working away, you're going about your business, and a lady comes to see you and she's fairly distressed. Pick it up from there.
Yeah. March 2017, she was 74-year-old Lily. She came to me stall telling me that she'd been fined £50 for smoking outside the market. Now, the market has a 50% cover, Now, not many, obviously Lily didn't know, I wasn't aware, and many other people won't be aware. The Health Act of 2006 clearly states if you're under 50% cover, you can be given a fixed penalty notice, FPN, for £50. Now, obviously, Lily was on a state benefit at the time, a pension, and the £50 to her was a lot of money. So I thought, hang on, this can't be right. You can't be doing that. At least warn them. Anyway, so about a week later, two vulnerable people came to me stall, and one of them, the gentleman, after speaking to him, you could tell he was vulnerable. His wife was just, she wasn't talking at all. Like, and the both of them had been given fixed penalty notices of £80. Now, if you go to the DEFRA guidelines, obviously, vulnerable people shouldn't be issued with tickets. Now, the gentleman, it wasn't clear that he was vulnerable, but his wife was. Anyway, long story short, Richie, he ended up borrowing the money and going to the food bank the next week because he had no money from their benefit.
And why were they given the fixed penalty notices? What were they doing?
For throwing a cigarette on the floor.
For throwing a cigarette away.
Yeah, Jeez. Throwing a cigarette on the floor. Which, Richie, I'm totally against, like yourself, we're totally against people dropping litter. I'm totally against dogs pooing and people not picking it up. Yeah? But this isn't about litter. This kingdom enforcement and other companies that do it, it's not about cleaning the streets. We need to make that clear. It's the council's zero. They brought in a zero tolerance on litter. Now, the word zero tolerance means you can drop a crisp and it's 80 quid, minimum 80 quid. You know, there's no excuse, there's no nothing. Anyway,
tell us about this. So the lady who came in to see you, the cover in the market, 50%, meaning that there are areas where you're not supposed to smoke, but she didn't know that.
Well, when you go outside, Richie, and you're outside.
You're outside in the air.
50% cover over your head.
Yeah.
It's a £50 fine. So I got in touch with the local press. We got in touch with the environmental minister in Liverpool. He said, I'm not having this. And he actually told Kingdom to stop doing it.
Good.
He wasn't aware they were doing it. I got him on camera. He was aware. He knew what was going on. Now, what these bandits didn't know is I'd done the research a few weeks prior to this. And I'd actually spoken to someone. I was at a meeting, a big meeting, when Kingdom came to Liverpool. And when they came to Liverpool, they had the bus companies, they had the big shopping centres, John Lewis, they had Liverpool One. They were all in the meeting. They told them the script. I was informed by the person in the meeting. He came in all suited up, looking like police officers. By the way, Kingdom's run by former police officers, so we understand why they look like police officers. Anyway, he gave me information. And I ran with it then, and I said, hang on a second, I'm not off. This is the perfect scam. You know, I started doing research, and then I got a whistleblower, a senior health worker from, I can't say where he's from, obviously. And I did a 25-minute interview on camera with him, his voice, and what he told me what was happening in two streets in the UK was shocking. He was telling me he only deals with seriously mentally ill patients. Now, vulnerable people, yeah? DEFRA guidelines, don't give tickets to vulnerable people, okay? Now, he witnessed on three occasions Kingdom bandits waiting in them streets for them victims to come out of their homes. Now, what this health worker told me, when the seriously mentally ill come out, Richie, to get them embedded back in society, they put them all together and they monitor them. Because obviously, if they go into the, if they come next to ordinary people, let's say, that aren't vulnerable, you get picked on, you get bullies and whatever. So they've got to embed them back in. He said he was just completely shocked and he came to me with that information.
Let's just clarify that. This is important now. So Kingdom, private company, not the police, it's a private company. It's been employed by Liverpool City Council and other councils to go out on the streets to be enforcement officers, to enforce litter laws, and a health worker has told you, now Kingdom...
Senior health worker.
A senior health worker. I haven't been in touch with Kingdom yet, but obviously after the programme I will send them this interview and ask them for a response. Of course I will do that. But a senior health worker alleged to you that their enforcement agents are targeting people who are vulnerable, following them around to try and basically entrap them into a situation where they can find them. That's a very serious allegation.
100%. I actually sent it to the head of the council in the area, and we actually gave it as evidence in the file to our mayor, Joe Anderson, which subsequently led to them getting kicked out of Liverpool. Now, in 2017, when Kingdom arrived in Liverpool, it was interesting to find out that bins and cigarette disposal units in certain busy areas of Liverpool, one being the seventh busiest train station in the UK, Central, he took away two cigarette disposals outside. There was a cafeteria next to the cigarette disposals where, on a regular basis, two Kingdom bandits would sit there eating there all day.
So,
now we know why they were there.
So they took away the cigarette disposal bins, you believe,
bins.
Because they know that some bloke is going to have a cigarette and he's going to go, oh, shit, what am I going to do? And then he's going to put it out, he's going to step on it, and then bang, 80 quid, like
80
that.
80 quid, right. Now I actually confronted councillors on camera. I wanted the bin plan of the city before they arrived and after they arrived. I still did not get it. Now, I had people saying to me, look, there was a bin here, it's gone now. And I went and I documented all these bins that went missing, Richie. I gave it all to the mayor. There you go.
What did the mayor say? What did he say?
Well, they never answered it, do they, Richie? They're not going to answer it. That was in the file. But I caught them. You know, members of the public had come together, and that was it. They all came together and had a little go.
This is why this story is so important.
What actually happened, there was five of us, local people, who, one was named Vinny, he used to monitor Liverpool bus station, Liverpool 1. There was Brian, an old age pensioner, he used to monitor the city centre with me. There was Angela, another OAP, who used to monitor the universities for us. And we had our great admin, Paul, who actually kept everything together, put it in a file, put it to the mayor, and then in 2018, they got booted out.
Yeah, this is the amazing thing, you see, because one of the most important parts of this story, and reading it all today, is the fact that people, if they lose the chip on their shoulder that tells them that they can't change anything, if they actually decide to do something. So let me just explain for our listeners who didn't get it. You've explained it perfectly, but I want to keep going back and going over these steps again.
Yes.
This company, Kingdom, was operating in Liverpool 1, which is the big shopping district in Liverpool. They were operating at the university. They were operating at the bus station, catching people unawares and giving them fixed penalty notices, fines for 80 quid or whatever. And what John Foley, who's on with me now, and his friends did was they went along and observed these bandits, as he's called them, this private company, observed them doing what they were doing, packaged it all up and went to the city and said, this is no good anymore. Tell me, when you were monitoring these people who were working, and I want to ask you about these people in a minute, what sort of person gets a job working for a company like Kingdom? Did they give you any blowback when you were monitoring them? Did they give you any, how do I put it, did they give you any shit, basically, when you were following them around?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I had a visit from at my store by two police officers regarding one guy who I'd witnessed on three occasions targeting pensioners outside the market, trying to get them under the 50% to 50 quidder. Yeah.
Right.
And I'd actually witnessed them do it three times because we had watches around the market. So when one would see a bandit, we'd get a call, we'd get out there, we'd get them on video, we'd get the evidence, bang, done. And then we keep doing that every day for 8 months, Richie. It was constant.
And these people, hang on a second, John. So some of these enforcement agents, and do you know when I say that, it makes me angry. Enforcement agents, bandits. I know, but even the term, it's disgusting. It's futuristic. It's Orwellian, isn't it? Enforcement. Yeah. You get letters all the time. I had a letter today from Salford Council to the occupier, because they don't know who I am yet, telling me in block capital letters on the envelope, do not throw this away. The cheek of an order straight away. Yeah. And then inside the letter, it's a threat telling me that I must inform them who's in the house ahead of the electoral roll, ahead of the next election. And if I don't, I could be fined. You know, I could start swearing here. It's unbelievable. I throw it in the bin. Who the hell do these people think they are?
It's all about the Wonga.
It's all about the Wonga.
What happens in Liverpool? What happens in Liverpool? Liverpool City Council. Sorry, Richie. A Labour-run City Council.
Labour.
And Kingdom would actually... started off in 2017 with 53% of a ticket going to Kingdom and 47% of the ticket going to the council. Within a few months, it had changed to 25% to the council and 75% to Kingdom. Now, I sent you the contract, didn't I?
I've got it, mate. Brilliant. You've given me everything.
The estimate value. What was the estimate value, Richie?
Oh, I've not got it here. I've not got it in front of me, but I'll bring it up.
9 million.
That's right. 9 million quid.
It was
9 million.
4 years in Liverpool, an estimated value for...
Don't tell me we've lost John.
£9 million, right? Now, we're talking about the people that did not throw litter. The people whose dogs did not poo. Okay, Richie? Now, there's a council in North Wales. North Wales had a group. They kicked them out. And these pensioners were hounded, threatened with criminal records. Same in Liverpool, same in the Whittle. £2,000 fine. If you don't pay this, if you don't pay that, you have people here, ordinary people. This is grassroots. These are just ordinary people, Richie.
Yeah.
Getting threatened, intimidated, and they haven't done it. So what did they do? They pay it.
They pay it. And they get these letters in the door telling them that
exactly.
Enforcement
and
agent might come along.
Take
your possessions.
Our campaign
yeah.
was all about, Richie. It wasn't agreeing with people dropping litter or dogs pooing. It was about getting people that didn't do it, and it was all about the Wonga.
There's now, loads of tweets now. Hang on, John. Hang on, because we've got loads of time, and there are loads of tweets. Let me read a few tweets, because we're getting... There's so many of them coming in. And there's a really interesting message from Dan, who was in touch with me today about Folkestone. So I'm going to read that out as well. John Foley is our guest. Sooty's Rehab says, Labour councils are skint. They are trying to milk everybody for their nonsense progressive agendas. Yeah. Look at what cities in the United States are doing. They are shitholes in the United States, and they're always Democrats, always supposedly socialists. And let me read this from Dan, because Dan was in touch with me today when I announced that we were coming on. He says, listening to the show, and the enforcement officers in Folkestone do exactly the same thing. They dress like coppers and intimidate people and fine them. The council have now trained up general council workers to issue fines to, even gardeners, etc. And then he says, they dragged my sister off a bus with her two small children, and the bus drove off, and they fined her for dropping a cigarette butt in the station, even though she does not smoke. They would not have it. Wait for this. They would not have it, and she was bullied into paying the £80 fine. Her bus drove off, and she had to walk 3 miles home. We've been fighting them for 6 years in Folkestone, says Dan. And you reckon that's a common story, the non-smoker?
I mean, I don't know about the 6 years, but yeah, it's common. 12 months, 6 months, it's common, Richie. I mean, there's thousands. I just want to go on the Kingdom website. Our environmental protection solutions are tailored towards your needs. They include dog fouling on land, domestic side waste disposal, duty of care, illegal distribution of free material, littering by fly tipping, parking enforcement, public space protection, antisocial behaviour, alcohol in excluded zones, busking, cycling restrictions, dog control orders, smoking in prohibited areas under the 50%, and traveller liaison. Now, this Kingdom, they do that much for councils, you know, and, you know, it's £100 million, Terry Barton, it's £100 million he turned over last year.
Is this privatising the police, John?
He said in a conversation that within 8 years, his company's going to take £1 billion.
His company's going to take £1 billion. The obvious, it's not even a question, the obvious statement is we are witnessing the privatization of the police, because you just listed a number of things there, like alcohol banning orders. Those are matters for the police, not for private corporations. So this is privatization by stealth, or is it privatization at the speed of light?
Shocking, Richie, isn't it?
I mean, that's
Now, I just want to go into March 2017 in Liverpool. This is off the council's own website. In 1 month in March in 2017, that was the first month they were working, they issued 3,486 fixed penalty notices. Okay? So you're talking £240,000 in 1 month. Okay? Now let's go to January 2018. This is just random, by the way, Richie.
Yeah.
There's another one here, 2,210 fixed penalty notices in 1 month. Okay? Then April 2017, 2,648 tickets. March 2018, when we got involved, it still went high. There was a total of 3,635.80 pounds. It's a lot of wonga, Richie, isn't it?
It's an enormous amount of money. Holy.
The council are saying 1.3 million in the 20-month period before we kicked them out. I got it to about 1.7 million. Okay? Now, we can talk about the money. We can talk about people shouldn't drop litter. We're talking about people that have not dropped litter. You know what I mean, Richie? I've done all the Freedom of Information requests. I mean, I did about 40 in the first 2 months, and it was a lot. I'd like to go on to the Aldi, a major incident that happened in Liverpool in 2018. And this was just, this brings in Merseyside Police. Now, I'm not going to say complicit. I'm going to say they're towing the bloody line, and I'll say the fucking line. You know what I mean, Richie?
Yeah.
Sorry for swearing.
No, you're okay. Now, I'm going to apologise for swearing.
We'd already got them banned out of the Aldi, okay, car park, and the two Liverpool universities, okay, thanks to Angela. Now, this incident that happened with this couple, a vulnerable male driving a vehicle and parked in a disabled bay in Aldi with his wife, gets out the car, does his shopping, has a smoke when he comes back, goes in the car, he's got a tin where he puts his ciggy stump, puts it in the stump. Next minute, two bandits come over to him. You've dropped cigarettes, both of you. No, we haven't. Anyway, long story short, Richie, what the male, the main one, the male, was the one who used to go around St. John's Market targeting pensioners. The very same bandit who got the police at my store for harassment, okay? Now, because we'd had a group of 6,000 members, what she did, this victim, she phoned me straight away. I took the call in my shop. I said to her, go away, blah, 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 drive away. Go down. What he'd actually said, this bandit, sorry, this is the main thing I nearly forgot to tell you. He actually said, I'm going to call the police if you don't give me an address. So she said, call the police. So he calls the police. He's talking on the phone. And he says to her, are you going to give me your details, your address? And she said, no. Yeah, I do want to speak to the police officer. And what he didn't realise, this bandit, is that this woman was amazed, and she grabbed the phone off him and started talking to the alleged police officer on the phone. A conversation occurred. Then she phoned me. I told her to go down to Walton Lane Police Station, get the log on the car park. Has anyone reported a crime at that incident? There hadn't been a report. Okay? 4 months later, I'm obviously working with Merseyside Police, not working with them, but sending stuff over. He was sacked and there was no charges. Okay?
No charges.
In the same period, I had made a complaint to Merseyside Police. Them two victims, and he took a seizure at the time, she had to take him to the doctors. They'd got a crime reference number, so there was two incidents in a 3 month period. I put a Freedom of Information request to Merseyside Police. I've got the three documents asking the question, in the 3 month period, don't forget that we have got two crime numbers, has anyone complained about Kingdom litter enforcement? The three replies were no. Okay? So I went down to him and said, police, what are you doing here? I know there's a report because I reported one because I got threatened. Okay? The ladies, you know, at the Aldi with the impersonating a police officer, why are you saying no one? And the reason why, Richie, is because the police, they weren't impartial. The police are getting the money off the council through the council tax. They've got to toe the line, Richie. And that wasn't the only incident. We had loads of incidents where the police were telling people, give your details to the bandits, give your details to the bandits.
The police were telling people, wow, this is amazing. And this is not just Liverpool.
You can actually, Richie, you can actually remain silent and walk away.
Of course, and not give them any information.
Everyone has that right.
Do me a favour. I'm going to try and bring in Dan. I don't know if I can do this now. It's fairly straightforward when we're on Skype. I'm going to try and bring in Dan for a few minutes. John Foley is our guest this afternoon. John's a market trader in Liverpool. And what we're talking about is a national scandal that has received a little bit of press attention, but not much. And it is the scandal of councils in the UK making hundreds of millions of pounds by using private companies dressed like official, maybe dressed like security guards or police officers, walking around the UK cities looking for reasons to fine people around litter. And John Foley is, and friends of his in Liverpool took this particular company on and beat them. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. I'm going to try, forgive now the production here, but I'm going to try and do this live and bring in Dan if we can. I don't know if it's going to work.
Go on with you.
I don't know if we can do it now. It told me I could do it. Let me just see. Can we do that? Let me put the number in and see. Can we do it? It's not letting me do it. Would you believe that? I'll get Dan on another time. I'm really sorry about that, Dan, but I can't do it for the moment. So, John, flesh this out then. This is, as I said, it's right across the United Kingdom.
There's more companies now, because what happened, that a lot of these Kingdom bandits started opening their own. They opened their own companies doing exactly the same, Richie.
Started doing exactly the same.
So we can't say too much, Richie, because obviously we're watching a few of them, you know what I mean?
I saw some of these people in Manchester recently. I was in Manchester recently and I saw people walking around and I saw litter enforcement on somebody's... it was a coat or a blazer or something, and I looked at it and I thought...
I think that's T4S, isn't it?
Is that right? It might be.
Yeah, it's got things.
Walking around, and I thought, there they are walking around now looking to find people, and hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds.
The camera doesn't come on until after they approach the victim, the alleged offender, let's say. Yeah, we call them victim because I've met that many, you wouldn't believe it, Richie. And these are ordinary folk, you know. Pensioners, I mean, it's shocking. And as soon as they approach them, then they put the cameras on, you know, because they can't surveil people. But they did. I mean, I need to tell you about the Wirral. It was bad in Liverpool. It was even worse in the Wirral. I mean, in December 2018, David Clare and that, we decided that a few of us from Liverpool would go over and help them out and see what we could do for 8 weeks before they got kicked out. Like, and it was just, there was that much going on, Richie. I couldn't sleep at night some nights because I'm thinking, how do we stop these pensioners, these people that, and the dogs aren't pooping, they're not throwing litter, they don't even smoke, and the councils aren't listening.
And you're sure now, you're sure that they were targeting pensioners specifically because they were more likely to be compliant?
No, more likely to be compliant, and the reason why they target. Now, I had a 12-minute conversation on video with a bandit last year, and he clearly stated, "Well, if you look at the percentage of age groups that are getting targeted, you're talking just less than 20% in the pensioner bracket." And I said, I didn't actually tell him on camera, like. But the reason why when I went at the council and I went to Joe Anderson. And I actually saying to him, look, Joe, they're targeting vulnerable people, they're targeting pensioners. And what they're doing, Richie, they've got four tickets. As soon as they get that fourth ticket, they're on a fiver. Okay? To get to that fourth
City.
Hang on a second. John, hang on. You're a little bit muffled at the moment. I don't know if you're holding the phone a certain way. It's a little bit muffled.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Much better. It was a bit muffled. Hang on a second. Okay. You're telling me that one enforcement officer needs to do effectively four people before they get a fiver?
They get a fiver on the fourth one and everyone after it.
Now,
if they're on two or three, okay, and they see a pensioner, bang, they get them. And that's where they go after the pensioners. Do you get me, Richie?
I'm with you.
And that's what I was on about. They're targeting specifically pensioners to hit that four, and then they get five, six, seven. It's a fiver. We have one. I've seen a documentation last year from David on the Whittle. I've seen a documentation. They have an elite squad of bandits, by the way, Kingdom. One elite bandit earns £1,500 a month in fivers.
In fivers. So he had a flat rate. He's paid a basic
rate.
Then 1,500 quid on top.
1,500. And the elite bandit, and I won't mention his name, okay, he used to be a professional pool player, okay, he earns 506 six penalty notices in a month.
That system is wide open for corruption because...
Of course it is.
And wide DEFRA, open, isn't it?
You see, DEFRA, and that's why, you know, DEFRA brings out guidelines. That's the word, Richie. It's only a guideline.
And DEFRA is the Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs. John Foley is our guest. I'm going to try and bring in Dan. Here we go. I mean, this is live radio and all the bloody rest of it. So you might hear some weird noises now. Let's see, can we bring him in? I don't know if we can. I think we'll end up with Dan. We might not have John then. I don't see. This is weird now, you see. Dan.
Hello.
Hi, Dan. Are you there?
I am. Hi, Richie.
I think we might have lost John in the meantime. But anyway, we'll get John back in a minute. I know he's got access to the programme as well. You're in Folkestone, and you were telling us about your sister. And you're on to this as well, Dan. What happened to your sister has motivated you to get on to this, what you believe to be a scam. Tell us about it, and can we get John back. Go ahead.
Well, it's not just my sister. It's a few people I know, basically. About 6 years ago, all of a sudden, these guys all dressed up like policemen were just walking around the streets, and no one really knew what they were. They were working in teams of two all over the town, and obviously I work in the town, and I sort of saw them around. And then suddenly, all these people just started getting fines. They were just stopping people in the street. You've dropped this, you've dropped that. £80 fine, you know, they were doing loads of them. And then we kind of just sort of looked into it a bit more. And it turned out they were working as private contractors for the council. And it kind of just went from there, really. It was all in the local newspapers and everything.
That came as a big surprise to you, the fact that this was a private company.
They come out of nowhere. They literally come out of nowhere. And then we started seeing in the local employment, recruitment companies, that they are recruiting for environmental enforcement officers. And they again, the other guy have just said, that they work on a commission basis as well as a basic salary.
Oh, commission basis, basic salary, commission basis. And
so they get more money for the more people that they target, really. And it went on for quite a while. It went on for about a year, and so many people in the town kicked off about it to the council.
Was it a Labour council?
Sorry, it was Shepway District Council, but now it's Folkestone and Hive Council. They've changed their name in the last year.
And is it Labour? Is it Labour run?
It's a Tory council.
Tory council, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a Tory-run council. It's kind of a mix. They've got a few Greens and stuff in there recently, but it's predominantly been a Tory council. But like I say, what happened is everyone in the town kicked off about it. All the local newspapers run loads of stories about them basically taking advantage of poor people and old ladies and stuff. I could probably get the articles if I look back over the years in the local papers.
Thank God there's still some local newspapers, Dan, anyway.
Well, they're quite good around here, actually. There's quite a few. We've also got some local kind of whistleblower pages that actually do their independent research into the council and their wrongdoing. So, you know, the council don't get it very easy around here because we don't let them, to be honest. So,
and what happened to your sister was a disgrace, and your sister genuinely not a smoker. And
no, she gets... doesn't smoke. So what happened was is she was walking through the town with her two children. Because she rung me up after and sort of, because I'd already put stuff on Facebook sort of kicking off about these guys, and she said, "You never believe what just happened to me." You know, I was walking through the bus station. I got on the bus. I paid my money with the two kids, and she said they actually stood in front of the bus as it was leaving the bus stop at the bus station, made her come off of the bus, and said that they'd seen her drop a cigarette butt as she was getting on the bus, and she said, "Well, it can't have been me because I don't smoke. Check my bag. I've got no cigarettes or anything." They said, "No, it come off of you. You know, we've got sufficient evidence to say that you dropped this cigarette." And they said, "It's an £80 fixed penalty." And she said, "Well, I haven't got that sort of money. You know, she's a single mum that's not working." And so they ended up giving her the fine anyway. They really bullied her. They were dressed like policemen. She actually thought they were policemen. So they took her off the bus and the bus drove off. She didn't have enough money to get the you know, another bus, so she had to walk home. They didn't care at all. She said, "I don't even smoke." And that's how it was left.
That's absolutely mad. That, I mean, I'm getting tweets. People listening to this program are tweeting it. They're for many of them, they're absolutely hard. They can't believe this because it isn't an exaggeration to say
this is
the privatisation of the police, isn't it? This is how it begins.
Like we said, it's like a private money enforcement. And to be honest, the council around here has just got worse. It's not just littering. They're fining dog owners for having their dogs off the leads. They're fining parking revenue that they've made from fines in this town in the last 6 years is over 2.6 million just in fines for people. You know, parking, they basically, what they've done is they've put residents parking bay. It's a seaside town, Folkestone. So they've put residents parking bays everywhere. And so there's nowhere to park now unless you buy a residence permit. And if you park any other place, you get a fine. And they've made 2.6 million in fines in the last 6 years, purely just getting people coming to visit the town and, you know, just things like that. And they've just recently bought back the enforcement because they went off for about 4 years. So they vanished, all these enforcement guys. We didn't see them for about 4 years. And now over the last sort of 9 months, they're back again. They've got a different
And they're back
now.
Again. I'm going to bring John back in a minute. It's a shame I can't have you both on together.
No, that's all right.
But you know what it is? I'm using a different system. When I do the phone-in shows, I've got a different system. I can take multiple calls. Yeah. But I'm using a bloody different... It had to happen, didn't it? But when I bring him back in a minute, he had some huge success in Liverpool because this crowd, Kingdom, was booted out. But my concern would be that these people will just get a bit smarter in terms of how they go about their business, and other companies will come back in to Liverpool and Manchester and everywhere else.
Yep.
My pal Jean Ann, who gets a lot of mentions because she's very important to me and is very smart, she says this is the nub of the issue. It's private companies taking over local law enforcement, and it's only going to get more crazy in the long run. That's what it is.
It's totally privatising everything around here. I mean, not just here, but all over the UK. I mean, it's private parking companies. We've got private environmental officers walking around. It used to be a company called NSL, I think, but I think they've now taken it on in-house. And because we've got a lot of local coastal parks where we are, so people come down from London for the day. You know, we're only 40 minutes from London on the train. So, and to be fair, I mean, these people do come down. They do leave a lot of litter. So these people do deserve to be fined 100% because they just come around and leave their shit everywhere.
Yeah.
And but the general public in the town, you know, you can get fined down here for letting your dog walk on the beach. £100 fine if your dog goes on the beach. It's crazy. And, you know, who owns the beaches? You can't find someone for let, you know, if say you can't have your dog on the beach.
These crazy bastards, and I didn't mention it this week because there's been so much else going on, but they're talking now about people getting fined for their car wheels being on the curb outside their house.
Oh, we've got that down here too.
Madness. I have to put the car wheels on the curb outside my house because if I don't, the side mirrors are going to be knocked because it's a narrow road.
Well,
I've got no choice.
We've taken our mirror off this week. We've got a similar place.
No way.
I'm looking out of my window now, and every single car on my street is parked halfway on the curb because they can't. We haven't got enough space because all the other sides are just double yellow lines.
And somebody's knocked your wing mirror. Somebody's knocked your wing mirror.
Yeah, this week I saw a wing mirror doesn't work anymore. We've got electric mirrors. One of them's broken now. But because the council have put double yellow lines on one side of the road to stop people parking there, so they have to go and pay in the car park, it used to be free parking.
Something's going to have to be done.
Luckily, we've got a residence park permit, so we can park where we are.
Yeah.
But they've yellow lined the rest of the street, so you have to go and pay £1.50 an hour in the car park, otherwise you get a ticket.
Ultimately, Dan, people are going to have to come together in the way they did in Liverpool and the Wirral and say enough's enough.
I agree. I mean, I'll send you on the messenger a link to a website of a. It's basically a team, a whistleblower team that we've got going down here, and they're just going up against the council to get everything. I mean, our council, basically, we've got mass homelessness in our town. You know, there's people in every street doorway. And our council have just spent £3.5 million on a castle in the middle of a field because they want to build a 10,000 house development around it. And they say they've got no money to clean the streets.
Oh, right.
But they've just spent £3 million on the castle, but they've got no money to look after the streets. Only the people, and, you know, it's crazy down here. And I guess it's the same everywhere else.
It's the same everywhere else
as well.
I'm going to bring John back on. Thanks so much for coming on. Do me a favour. No, we're going to stay on top of this issue. Come back again.
Yeah, no worries.
I'll get it sorted out again. We'll get a phone in going on this specific issue because I'm getting loads of tweets. I'm getting emails as well. So I'll organise a phone in. I'll get you back on and you can tell us about the whistle.
You've got my number now.
I have your number now and we're connected on Twitter. Thanks, mate, for coming on from Folkestone to tell us that. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Richie. Thank you.
You too, buddy. Bye. That was Dan, right? Let's go back to John now. This is huge, isn't it? I mean, this is proper huge. Let's get John back on the line from Liverpool, our market trader, John in Liverpool, John Foley, who successfully took on Liverpool City Council and Kingdom and dealt with them. I'm so sorry I couldn't keep you both on together, John. I did my best, but...
It's all right, Richie. Well done.
Thanks,
well
mate. Done. It's good to hear. I doubt you heard Dan there because of where you are. But he told a very similar story from folks. So tell us about... Basically, tell us about getting these guys kicked out of Liverpool. How did you do that? Because that's very important. Well, Let's stay with that.
Well, like you say, five local people got together. We documented it. We went after, we hounded them like they were hounding innocent people, Richie. You know, I've had two interviews under caution at the police station regarding it. I've had one visit at the shop. But you know what? You try and break you, Richie, but you've got to keep going. The truth will prevail in the end. And that's what these platforms that you do is all about. There was only five of us. But we had members of the public sending texts where they are, where you can find them, and this old person is getting monitored, blah, blah, blah. And over on the Wirral, David, I mean, what they were doing there
was sick.
I mean, there wasn't as many over on the Wirral. We had five activists there. We were at it every day, Richie. We only had really David that was doing the video and over there. And the final one was just at the beginning of this year in January, where I've seen the video of our Brian.
Yeah, I've seen the video, yeah.
With the regional mayor.
It's all on your YouTube channel, John. Do you know what? I'm going to share a link to your YouTube channel while you're talking.
Steve Rotherham, he was can see him on the video saying, "What are you doing here?" Because we were talking about this 78-year-old lady with a walking frame, standing outside Birkenhead bus station, lit a cigarette up, smoked a cigarette, and put it in a pouch and put it in a pocket. The bandit went over to issued a £100 fine. Luckily, not luckily for the bandit, because she was on a fiver, David was there with his friend, and they videoed all the incidents, which was in the Guardian and it was in the Echo. So we went down to the Man Island, which is Mersey Travel headquarters, and said to the mayor, regional mayor, "Why are you allowing Kingdom in the bus station, harassing and surveilling people that aren't doing anything wrong?" And if you see the video, you see his reaction. He was a bit abrupt, actually, to Brian.
one of our helpers, who is a pensioner, by the way. And you know what? That Brian, he was amazing. Anyway, long story short, Richie, within a week, they were kicked. Thanks to David, Claire, Wendy and Heather, they were kicked out of the Wirral.
They were kicked out of the Wirral, right? Now, this is hugely important. Because
in February this year.
In February. After 4 years of work.
And £3 million.
£3 million quid they earned.
Liverpool, because obviously it's not, you know, Liverpool, major city. In Liverpool, it was, the contract was £9 million. In the Wirral, it was £3 million. Okay. Kingdom offer zero solution to councils up and down the country. They pay the uniforms, the body cameras, the appeals. Did you know who runs the appeal if you want to plead not guilty, Richie? Do you know who runs it?
Tell us.
Kingdom.
They do it themselves.
They do it themselves. And they issue the court papers as well. All done by Kingdom. Okay? And by the way, Kingdom are now, in the last year, they've become partners with Clean Up Britain. Jeremy Paxton, what's going on here, fella?
Well, that's really interesting.
It's good to be true.
It is. You mentioned Jeremy Paxman there, the famous BBC broadcaster. He's written a scathing article about this, absolutely disgusted by it. It's just kind of tiny bit muffled again, John. Just keep an eye on the phone,
okay,
mate. I mean, otherwise it's perfectly clear. It's good for the mobile.
I mean, Richie,
the only way we could do it.
See,
go ahead,
Richie. You're the same as Jeremy. I'm the same. We don't like litter. None of us like litter.
No.
The answer is not to bring in contractors. The answer is councils do it themselves. The more accountable, Richie, if they do it themselves. They don't want the hassle.
John, the reason there's litter, let me tell you this, the reason there is litter on the streets of our cities is because there are no litter bins. This is something that pisses me right off. I'm in Salford now, the Eccles side of Salford. There are no bins. There are none. It's the same in Manchester and Fallowfield. They removed all the bins. They did it in Waterford City years ago. They took bins away. So you've got some child or you've got some teenager, they've got an ice cream, they've got a lollipop, they've got a packet of crisps, and they're eating it. There isn't a bin to put it in. There are no bins. They've caught everything.
The answer to that too, Richie, I mean, I get it. You know, chances are people will throw it. I've got four daughters. Now, I've taught my daughters, they don't throw litter. If there's no bin, put it in your pocket, take it home, bin it. There's your answer to that. But this isn't about litter. This is about money, Richie.
It's about the money.
Now, the councils and Kingdom, they keep saying, yeah, it costs £1 billion to clean the streets. We can't allow this. You know, there's all this plastic going in the sea. We've got to stop litter. Richie, £2 million in fixed penalty notices for cigarettes is half of a bin. The streets are no cleaner, Richie.
Of course not.
The council's more richer. Kingdom are more richer. But the streets are still dirty.
And it's the way forward to privatise policing. It really is, because Dan, whom you didn't hear, but you said it yourself anyway earlier on.
It's fucking terrible, isn't it?
Dreadful.
Terrible.
That Kingdom want to do everything. They want to issue fixed penalty notices for drinking alcohol, maybe loitering, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That's policing. That's not for a private corporation to be involved in. It's sickening. It's terrifying, John.
Well, to be honest, Richie, like David will tell you over on the Wirral, I'll tell you, there were 13 bandits in Liverpool, and I tell you what, I wouldn't give any of them a job.
Wouldn't give
that's
them a
how
job.
Bad they were, and that's not making fun of them. To be fair, you know, one out of 13 was okay.
I've got a question for you. I've got an important question. It's a bit. I suppose worst case scenario, it's a bit negative, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So Kingdom gets kicked out of Liverpool, the Wirral, or wherever. We've lost John again, have we? Hang on a second there now. He might have been in an area of low coverage. We'll try and get him back on. Let's see, can we get him back on? John Foley is on the line. A lot of interest in this, by the way. A lot of interest in it. So let's see, can I get him on again? He's gone. Has he gone? He's gone. Right, hang on. Let's see. Ah, the best laid plans of mice and men. This happens in live radio, of course. I'm going to try and get John back on for the last few minutes of this conversation. We've been talking about UK councils using private corporations as enforcement agents on UK city streets. enforcement agents on UK city streets. Let's see, can we get John back on? This is unbelievable, this. I don't know. I don't know what happened there, mate, but you're back anyway.
Right.
Sometimes mobile phone calls do drop out. My negative question was going to be, so Kingdom gets booted out, but there's another company waiting to take its place. What's the situation like in Liverpool now? Are there other enforcement agents patrolling Liverpool streets?
What we've done, the five of us, what we've done is that the council have stated they will not bring another company in to do litter. They will educate people. That's a fact. There's a problem here. Whittle haven't said that, Richie. Whittle are going to bring another private company, and that's why we need people to go on their Facebook page. Do you know what I mean, Rich?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're gone forever in Liverpool. We're never going to have them back, and that's 100%, Richie. You know what I mean? I mean, the streets are still the same. They're not cleaner. They're not dirtier. You know what I mean? I mean, if they want to do it in-house and they want to send officers out or whatever to do it, so be it. You know what I mean? But the more accountable you've got, more of a claim if a council worker gives you a wrong ticket. If Kingdom give you the wrong ticket, they just ignore you, Richie.
Just ignore you. They just ignore
and,
you.
And you're sitting at home and you're waiting to go to court. And a final person I'd like to talk about, there's only one person that's ever, that I know in the UK, that has took Kingdom to Crown Court. And it was 5 weeks ago. It was a Chris Jones, a taxi driver, who was helped by the Will Group, okay, through the solicitors, and he went to the magistrate with them. He got found guilty in the magistrate, because the magistrates are all involved, by the way. Council magistrates, they're all in it together.
How do you know that? That's a serious claim, and you might not know that now, to be fair, John. They might not be in on it.
Well, the reason why is because the charge of £80 and then the court fees of £150 are actually going to the magistrates, okay? Now, at 1 month over in the Whittle, they had like 300, I think it was 300 in a 6 week period that were going to court, you know?
300.
So that's 300, 150 quid, isn't it? It's a lot of money for the magistrates, isn't it?
It's a lot of money.
You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. You're saying that, look, you know, looking at it from that point of view, you're saying that from that point of view, yeah, the magistrates have something.
From that point of view. Obviously, you need documentation to prove that. Well, where are you going to get that from? All we know in Liverpool, we got the documentation. We gave it to Mayor Joe Anderson. November 2018, he got rid of them. Why did he get rid of them? So no one can debunk the work we've done, Rich, because they're gone. A 9 million contract's gone because we exposed them, and we need other people to do it all over the UK. If you see it, just observe it. Just observe what they do, you know, and you'll see them targeting people, and you'll see them targeting vulnerable people and innocent people, Richie. Now, what I would advise, I wouldn't advise anyone to actually approach any enforcement bandit who's given out a ticket, because they can do you for that as well. That's £1,000 fine if you'd interfere. If they haven't gone to the person, you can video them. You see our videos, Richie. We used to get them before they got the people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've tweeted your YouTube account.
And then go on to the next victim. You know what I mean?
I've tweeted out, John.
You have to be careful with that.
But I just want to remind the listeners, I have tweeted a link to John's YouTube account. In fact, if you look for John Foley Ryanair, if you put John Foley Ryanair into YouTube, you'll get John's YouTube account, which is youtube.com/Ryanair don't care. There's no apostrophe, obviously. It's Ryanair don't
That's
care,
right.
And all these videos are on there, and I've tweeted a link out to it now.
And we'd like to ask people to actually join Will Axe the Litter Police Kingdom Security, please. And support them, because as soon as that council bring in another private firm, Richie, it's all going to start again and we'll be all over on the Whittle again.
And it really pisses you off as a Liverpudlian that these are Labour councils in the North West anyway.
Well, I mean, Richie, they're all in it together, mate. It's like you say, you've got to have an opposition. You've got to have, you know, it's all about the Wonga. I mean, the Twitter went mad last year with the councillors in Liverpool. I mean, they ended up blanking me. I'd get them at the town hall. I'd video them at the town hall asking the questions. Where's the bins? Why are they targeting vulnerable people? And they just,
it worked, Richie. They used to get fed up. I mean, they blocked me all and that, which is fine. I never give any abuse. I just ask questions. Where's the bin?
Where do you get it from? Where do you get
There's
it from? Let me ask you that.
There's the picture of the bin last year. Where is
Where's
it now?
Where's it gone?
Just tell me where it is.
Taking bins away to entrap people into dropping litter so that they can then be fined, or throwing a cigarette away, or stepping on a cigarette or whatever. Let me ask you this in the last couple of minutes that we have, and I really appreciate you getting in touch. I apologise for not doing this sooner. I should have done this sooner, but there is just me here.
Right.
I wanted to have you on previously. I'm glad you came on. Where do you get your... where does it come from? Does it come from your dad, from your mum, your refusal to take shit from these people? Where does it come from?
Well, what it is, it's the empathy. You know, it's empathy for people that can't have their own voice, you know? And I'll be there. David will be there. Claire will be there. Heather will be there. Brian will be there. Paul will be there. There's a few of us that will be there, you know, so... And that's what people should do. It's not all about me, you know. It's got to be about other people, you know. And, you know, I listen to Max Egan all the time. I mean, he's 100% what he says.
Yeah,
you just got to help others. Same like yourself, Richie. You say it all the time. You know what I mean? Help, love. It's not just love thy neighbour. Let's try and help thy neighbour. It costs nothing, does it, Richie?
No, it costs nothing.
You know, it costs nothing. It's not about the money. It's about the money to these people that are targeting people. I mean, you know, 78-year-old pensioner at the bus station. She's getting a £100 fine. You answer this, Richie. Say she got that £100 fine and she went home and had a heart attack.
Yeah.
Dead.
And that's not
Thank you.
That's not implausible, that scenario.
Well, the video's there. The Echo, the Guardian covered it. It could happen because they threaten you with the criminal record. All the companies, not just Kingdom. I mean, I'm talking about Kingdom because they were in Liverpool and the Will and North Wales. But all of the companies are exactly the same. It's all about the Wonga. And hopefully people will listen to this show today. And like Birmingham, Kingdom are in Birmingham. They've been there for 10 years. Yeah. I mean, one last point as well. Will Council... These senior council employees, not the councillors sign stuff off. They take the praise and the slack, right? These senior council officers, right, are not shambolic. I use the word shambolic. The scum, Richie. You know what I mean? Over on the Will, the council paid Kingdom £42 for every fixed penalty notice, whether guilty or not.
They gave them £42 for everyone.
£42. So, hang on a sec. You've got to get your bandits out to make the more tickets they gave, the more £42. Even if the person gets a not guilty in court. Which Christopher Jones went to the Crown Court 5 weeks ago. He was smoking his e-cig and the Kingdom bandit said, you threw the ciggy and you were smoking in your taxi. Smoking in a taxi, £50, throwing a ciggy, £100. That's a double whammy. Yeah, double whammy. They love that because it's £150. It's a £10 bonus. Do you get me, Richie?
Yeah.
He got found guilty in the match. He took it to the Crown. I was there 5 weeks ago. Amazing. The judge threw it out.
You see, and
he
there you
got his conviction.
I know, obviously, Crown Court and a Crown Court judge is vastly different to a magistrate, but. There's always hope, you know. I said this yesterday, I might have said it this morning, that a judge will say, look, this is outrageous. There's still some decent people, presumably, working within the legal profession, working on cases like that,
well,
working in Crown Court.
We live in hope, don't we, Richie?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Chris Jones' case was successful, and I tell you what, John, thanks so much, mate, for coming on.
One more thing, Richie.
Go ahead, mate.
There's a group called the Whittle Leaks over on the Whittle. And they actually leaked Kingdom WhatsApp. If you Google that, you'll see the reports in the papers. They had a WhatsApp league and they had a WhatsApp chat. And North Wales, Liverpool, you wouldn't believe this, and the Whittle. And they were talking about kicking kids. They were talking about abusing children. They were talking, having laughing a joke about giving people tickets, you know, outside. I forget, do you know where they give tickets out, Richie? Outside funeral parlours,
I've got the documentation. It went to the mayor outside cemeteries, yeah, outside primary schools, yeah, outside job centres. And the reason why they go after the primary schools, and I witnessed a Kingdom Bandit in Liverpool training someone to target a mother with a baby. I witnessed it. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I witnessed it. And I confronted the bandit on a 12-minute video, which I've still got. Okay? Now, the reason why they were targeting mothers, whether the child throws something or they throw a ciggy or whatever, is because this is what was told by a whistleblower bandit, right? Is that the child gets distressed, so the person gives you the details. How bad's that, Richie?
The child might start crying, the mum gets flustered, and the mum says, okay, I'll just...
Gives the address.
Just give the address, and off
you go. Exactly. I mean, that, come on, Richie.
Yeah.
Or for a fiver.
For a fiver.
I'll give you 50 quid not to do it.
Many, many, many years ago in Waterford City, where I come from, many years ago, men working for the local authority would come around to housing estates to turn off water supplies. And... Yeah. They were turning off the water supply of people that were very poor. But the community came together, and there's a very famous story. If people put Ballybeg water switch-offs...
Ballybeg,
Ballybeg, yeah. And what happened was the people surrounded the van of the men that were doing it and kept them in the van for 2 days. And absolutely right, the community came together, and that was the end of it. Nobody would come into the community again to turn the water off.
That's the way to...
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. People have got to come together. You know, that's a true story. I remember it. The proof's in the pudding. Mate, thanks for coming on today. I really appreciate it, John.
Thanks
I really appreciate
that.
Your
it's
time.
Been a pleasure.
It's huge. You're on top of this. This is a massive story. It has gotten some coverage, but not nearly enough in the media, because it's happening all over the country and it's going to get worse. And it segues.
It leads
to ultimately more and more and more privatisation of policing by councils and ultimately by the government. I think you're amazing, John. Thanks for doing that today. I really appreciate that.
Thanks, Richie. All the best, and I'll speak to you soon.
You too, mate.
Happy birthday, Leonard Peltier.
Cheers,
thanks
mate.
Thanks a lot.
I echo that as well. Thanks, John. That was John Foley live from Liverpool, and you heard Dan on the programme as well. A massively serious subject, this, because it's ongoing around the country where councils... this is organised crime, basically. It's the sort of thing the mafia would come up with. You know, you get people, you make it look like they're official. They're a private corporation. They wear a uniform. And you tell them to go and issue fixed penalty notices to people. And you will pay them a sum of money every time they do that. And also you give bonuses to the agents, the enforcement agents, the bandits, as John called them. It's wide open for corruption. And for people to be targeted, and vulnerable people to be targeted. But it is a... Nationally, it's hundreds of millions of pounds a year. It's a disgrace. Very few people are talking about it. So we'll return to that in the near future. There's no two ways about it. We will return to that in the very near future. The time is rapidly approaching 23 and a half minutes to the top of the hour. Huge interest in this. Thanks for all the tweets, by the way. Really appreciate them. And again, thanks to Dan for getting in touch during the programme. And it was good that we could get him on. Shame we couldn't get them on together, but I'm using a different setup. It's hard for me to explain. It's all software. When we do the phone in, I use different software, and I use a phone system, which I couldn't use today because it's not switched on or plugged in or whatever. But we'll do, as I said, in the near future. I will revisit that subject because it's massive. And we will get a lot of... Because a lot of people have got in touch with me saying they would have liked to have contributed to this today because they see it going on in their communities as well. And of course, I'll drop a copy of this show to this particular company, Kingdom, and others, and ask them if they'd like to come on the programme and give them right of reply. So I will. So look, I'm before I go today, I just wanted to say, I don't want to make a big deal out of it, because I don't think it's a big deal insofar as I don't kind of dwell on milestones and what have you and anniversaries and birthdays. But I've been asked to mark it. This week is the fifth year that this programme has been on the air. It came It came to be, this programme, back in September of 2014. In fact, it was September 14th, 2014, this programme came on air. And I'm not going to, I know I do this every year. It's like one of these things you do it every year. So I won't do the entire spiel like I do every other year, but I'll do this much of the spiel anyway. I was in London, obviously, making television programmes with David Icke and others. Didn't work out. And I was a bit worried about what I was going to do next. I was more than a bit worried about it, to be honest with you. And I began to contact radio stations and organisations around the country. And I had a bit of success. And a very well-known radio station in the north of the country, which I don't like to mention. Maybe I will in the future. But they were very good and they offered me a good gig. They offered me the breakfast show on a contract. And I was delighted with that. And I thought, lovely. And at the time, there were two people very significant at the time. Caroline Tisseron, the future Mrs. Allen, the oft-mentioned, and David Icke. And Caroline said to me, I'm not sure you're going to like that. I'm not sure you're going to like living there. And I'm not sure you're going to be happy. And David Icke said the same thing. At the time, he said to me, why don't you make your own programme with your ability to produce? I'm sure you can get a quality sounding show on the air. Do it and stream it out and nobody can tell you what you can say, what you can't say. And I said, that's a good idea. Caroline's been saying the same thing. And David said, to his eternal credit, I'll stream it on davidicke.com. I'm sure other people will stream it as well. And amazingly, Paul Ripley, who is the fab radio impresario here in Manchester, Paul said the same thing. Paul said, look, I'd love to have it. I'll put it on and you'll have a home for your radio programme. And that's basically how the programme came to be. And the equipment was purchased initially. It was basic equipment and a semi-decent microphone. And Paul Ripley came to Fallowfield in Manchester and spent a few days with me on his own time, on his own dime, putting it together at the time. And Paul said, you're ready to go now, go and do the programme. And that was it. And that's how it began. And it was always going to be about bringing people on who were saying things that were challenging the narrative that we get from Sky and the BBC and all the rest of it. And it's not changed, really, since then, the format. The time has changed. It used to be on at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the evening originally, then 8 o'clock, then 7 o'clock. And now it begins every Monday to Thursday at 5 o'clock. And that's what it is. And this Saturday will be Saturday the 14th of September. It will be 5 years old on Saturday. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting it, because it doesn't get any other revenue. It's just you. Those of you that send a couple of pounds a month or £3 a month or £5 a month, some people send £10 a month, and some of you once in a blue moon will send £50 a month. That's what keeps it going. Just to mention, by the way, last year, after all was said and done, after everything was paid for, I took for myself just over £11,000. So nobody's getting wealthy. There's nobody getting wealthy here. And my accountant will verify that. People think, oh, it's massive money in this. Richie Allen, huge. It's brilliant. Loads of money. He's doing really well. No. After everything was paid for, I declared, and it's all in the public record, around 11 grand last year. There's no money in it. Whatever savings I had from my time working in the private sector, I've been eating into those to keep this going. Not looking for any credit for that. Don't want any pats on the back. That's the truth. There's no money in this. But I do because I love doing it. And because some of you think, a tiny, tiny, tiny minority of you think it's worth sending me a few quid a month. And to the day I die, I will be grateful for you for doing that. I'm amazed, actually, that anybody would think, you know what, I'll send it a couple of quid. And you can do that, by the way, on richieallen.co.uk. There is a bank account details there. There is also PayPal details there. And if you can't afford it, don't worry about it. But it does need increased funding because it doesn't get very much these days. Right, it's the last time I'm going to say that. I'm delighted that it's still on air. I want to thank a few people. I do this every year, but I'm going to do it anyway again. Bear with me. And if I forget somebody, it's genuine. I didn't make any notes, but I want to thank Paul Ripley at Fab Radio. I want to thank Hayden Hewitt. I want to thank David Icke and his family. and the people who work with David at davidicke.com. I want to thank Jean-Anne Crowley. And this program today operates today with the very best equipment that any radio producer or presenter could have. It's BBC standard equipment. This is why the program sounds so good. And Jean-Anne Crowley is responsible for that. That's all I'm going to say there. I want to thank Mark Bajerski, a legend. Terry Tez Howell, who's a great friend of mine based in Salford, businessman in Salford, lovely guy, amazing guy, Terry. Tez, as I call him. Patricia Braunschweiler in Zurich, an amazing lady. Ruth in Australia, I want to say thanks to Ruth as well. To Tony Gosling, to Gilad Atzmon, to Graham Booz, who's at Hayden's TriggerWarning.tv, pal, for his technical advice from time to time. Graham's a lovely guy. And then, really, just people over the years who have been helpful. Jim Corr, Jordan Maxwell, the late, great Jim Mars, Mike Rivero, Maria Heller, Kevin Barrett. I could be here all day long. And, of course, the future Mrs. Allen, the previously mentioned Caroline, because it's a fairly big sacrifice for her that I do this programme and that I don't work in the private sector, because it's a massive undertaking, and it takes 12 to 14 hours a day, and it often impacts on and kind of bleeds into our personal time, and that's not easy. It's not easy for her, it's not easy for me, but she's an amazing human being. We talked earlier on about people. Jean-Anne said that John Foley has empathy. Caroline has got it in spades. Empathy and love for people and for justice and for integrity. She's an amazing woman. So that's about it, really. I won't be on the air over the weekend, obviously. The next time you'll see me, you'll be on Sunday for Sunday View. The programme is 5 years old. I can't believe it. But I'm delighted that it is. And again, thanks to you for listening to it. Thanks for sharing it. And thanks for keeping it going. I want to thank Phil Restino as well in Florida. My God, I nearly forgot Phil. What a lovely man Phil is. Incredibly helpful Phil has been to me in recent years as well. Thanks to Phil in Florida. You see, that's why you should write stuff down. And I will have forgotten to say thanks to somebody important now, and they'll feel bad about it. And I'll feel even worse. I should write stuff down, but I didn't tonight. I didn't. So if I forgot anybody, I humbly apologise. I'm going to leave the programme now. And I'm going to go and have a cold beer. Again, thanks to you. I'll leave you with Counting Crows and their version of the Joni Mitchell song. Look after yourselves and one another. Have a fantastic weekend. 5 years not out, the Richie Allen Radio Show. That's not too bad, is it? Talk to you real soon. Bye for now. Bye.